Welcome to the XBLA Fancast, episode 14 for May 23rd, 2011. We finally had a show on time last week, and we're hoping to do it again this week. And the XBLA Fancast, as always, brought to you by XBLAfans.com, your number one source for XBLA news and discussion. And this week, I'm joined by Steve Melton, Andrew Cruz, and Damon Filling.
Hey, I'm Steve Melton. I'm the deputy editor here at XBLAfans.com.
I'm Andrew Cruz. I'm a staff writer.
Hey, guys. This is Damon Filman. I'm a writer for the site, and I'm glad to be back.
And this week, we had a lot of new game announcements, as always. It seems like leading up to E3 in the summer, every week we've had three or four new games announced, and we had a lot of big ones this week. Alan Wake, especially.
Yeah.
But we'll start with the top. Awesome Knots looks to be awesome, I guess. But yeah, I know. I was just reading the title to our headline. I'm like, did you really have to put that up there, Steve? But it's kind of
funny. You know, here's the thing. Like, I have to say this as a fairly new journalist. I hate press releases that tell you nothing. Because, like, it said it was a multiplayer online battle arena. I'm like, are we talking Super Smash Brothers or whatever? You give me this and two pictures. And so I'm like, well, we're going to play off your name and see if you can actually be awesome or if it's just, you know, a clever nickname.
Yeah. It's one of those games where they don't want to announce anything prior to E3 other than enough to get you to go see them. Because, I mean, I know I've already scheduled an appointment for us to meet them at the conference, but it's one of those things where it's like, I'd really like to know a little bit more than just the fact that it's coming from Romino Games, you know, the people who did Swords and Soldiers. I mean, that's not enough information for me to, you know, plan questions even around.
And let me just say that these guys do some pretty good work, at least with, I don't know if you guys have played Sword and Soldiers, but that is one of my favorite games on Steam. I have probably like 60, 70 games on Steam, and that's probably in my top five I play the most. So they have made a really good game, and to be honest with you, the artwork looked really similar to that game, so
very cool.
I'm fairly intrigued for this one.
Yeah, it should be an interesting summer. I mean, I think we're going to have a giant clump of titles that are trying to get out at the same time period, and hopefully they're all high quality. I mean, if they're not, it'd be nice to see them get delayed so that, you know, we don't end up with four releases at the same time where three of them are not that great.
Mm-hmm. You know, look at the screenshots. It's a good-looking title from, I mean, I love this kind of very cartoon art style that it's not, I mean, it looks very professionally done, almost like Shank quality.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It reminds me a lot of Shank, you know, that kind of, you know, very cartoony, but quality cartoon work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the type of stuff you'd see on a TV show, you know, on cable. I mean, it's definitely something that looks very intriguing to me, and if they actually can be awesome, it would be very, very pleasant surprise. I mean, I just a really cheesy name for me. I mean, I'm kind of hoping it's good.
Yeah.
But I know Skydrift is also looking to come out this summer for XBLA, and the first thing I thought when I saw this was, oh, cool, Hydro Thunder with planes, which at least I'm hoping.
I actually thought Diddy Kong Racing when I first saw it, but, like, realistic. I mean, because that's what I remember is playing in the planes while, you know, somebody's driving on the ground. Obviously, there's not that, but it has that same sort of really over-the-top arcade feel, but in a really cool, it almost looks like, you know, the canyons of Utah or Arizona or something like that. It really, I don't know, it pops.
A Mario Kart kind of.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's kind of like, you know, a Diddy Kong Mario Kart with planes. You know, you got weapons. At least we know that much. We don't know what kind of special weapons there will be. But, I mean, it says in there, your goal is to overtake them, and if you can't do that, shoot them down.
Yeah.
Pretty simple background for that. But it definitely looks really pretty, which is nice to see.
You know, if this has got you know, a deathmatch mode, then it could dethrone Snoopy, potentially.
No.
You just got on Andrew's bad side.
Nope. I watched this little one-minute trailer, whatever it was, that was released, and I don't know. It looked to me like it better try to be more of a racing game, because if the combat shown was like some of their core combat, like just simple homing missiles and a landmine, then I hope that that's... I hope they go a lot more further than that with like a multiplayer trailer later, because it looked like a solid racing game, but it looked like, when I looked at this, I just thought like, wow, Snoopy Flying Ace looks like it to me, it's just such a better multiplayer game just off of looks alone. I would almost always rather play that over anything. I tried My Sims Sky Heroes, and that game failed to come up to that. This game, I actually kind of hope this game's more of a racing game, because I wouldn't mind trying a plane racing game, because I know Steve's big into racing games and I'm not as much, but I like different ones, and I would definitely be into a plane game that gives you like a lot more free roaming area, and because I imagine that it's not as streamlined as, well, your car has to be on the ground, yeah. So you have to go this way. A plane would allow a lot more
maneuverability, like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And harkening back, though, to Snoopy, do you think that, you know, the Snoopy, you know, Peanuts license hurt the game or helped the game? Because, I mean, it probably helped build initial base, but it's one of those things where I know a lot of people have been turned off just because they feel it looks a little too cartoony, despite the fact that there honestly is a ton of depth in that game. I know you sold me on it, you know, earlier this year, and I've been playing it a lot. I mean, it's really, really high quality title.
I think it helped it at the front end of the sale, as getting like casual people to at least check it out. The problem is once those people checked it out, they realized that most of the people that basically run that game are the pros, and a lot of people probably quit out, whereas the people that would be really, really good at a game like this were probably the ones that never checked it out because it had Snoopy on the front. And I feel like it probably helped get a broader audience, but that may be why that so little people play it now, and the ones that do play it are the really good ones. I feel like it could have had a larger, longer lasting community maybe without the Snoopy name attached to it.
Yeah, it's one of the things you always have to consider with, you know, licensed characters like that, because I mean, a lot of games like Diddy Kong Racing and Mario Kart aren't seen as childish for some reason as Snoopy was. When I talk to a lot of people, I mean, they're like, oh, I'll go play Mario Kart, but I don't want to play, you know, Snoopy Flying Ace. I'm like, but they're kind of the same type of thing. You know, they're both going for that cartoony, but, you know, very, very fun game.
Well, the difference is that you grew up with Mario, and so you're okay with that. Whereas, you know, I can count on one hand the number of Peanuts games I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, Peanuts is not a traditional gaming entity, but I mean, it's pretty ingrained in pop culture.
True.
I'm pretty sure everyone's seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special and some of the other stuff along those lines. And yeah, the Great Pumpkin, and, you know, just off Saturday, you know, newspapers and stuff for cartoons. Yeah. I definitely think that's something that we do see a lot, where, you know, there's just people out there who, just because the source material of the game just doesn't appeal to them, you know, it's just not something they want to play, despite the fact that it is pretty quality. Well, we have Storm coming for summer as well for 2011, and Andrew, you'll be happy about this, but they've already listed as 800 points. And
yeah, I'm super interested in this one. It just looks like my kind of game. I don't know why. It just looks like something like I want to play. It looks innovative, I guess, and I always like sitting down and playing these like really innovative indie kind of titles, and it just looks like it looks like to me, like, I remember the first time I looked at like Braid or Limbo, and this game looks like something like that. Like, it immediately catches my attention, and I don't care about like the story or anything. I just want to grab a controller and play that and see how that all goes together and works.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I looked at it, and the first thing I thought was, just like you, I thought it looked indie. And I mean that not as, you know, a thing to knock it on, but as
a
compliment.
That's a good thing.
It looks like it has, you know, that kind of uniqueness to it that you don't see in a lot of games. A lot like, you know, how you were talking about how much you liked Islands of Walkthrough, just because, you know, it was one of the most interesting releases I think we've had this year. I mean, whether or not people bought it, or, you know, people liked it, and it was definitely one of the more unique games out there. Which, I mean, to me, that's always something I'm looking for.
This is
Yeah, I'm always interested in the people that are doing something different, and this game looks like it's definitely doing something different.
Yeah, you know, it takes a chance. I think that's one of the great things about XBLA is you've got, you know, the franchise titles that are kind of more bite-sized. But then you've got these people that, you know, they have a little bit more money than maybe Xbox Live Indie Games, and they take a complete chance, like Swarm and now Storm, oddly enough. They have you wouldn't see this ever in a retail release. But yet, this is going to be one of those games that, like, Andrew or, you know, somebody who just is so into these kind of games picks them up, tells all their friends, and, you know, it just becomes a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably like Fez will be, too. Is another game that's coming soon that I can liken that to. It's just so unique looking. I think both of these games will be very similar. Like a lot of buzz
there
between from like gamer to
gamer. There's so many games out there that are coming out this summer that I just think look just absolutely beautiful. And I mean, the art styles of these are just completely different. But Fez, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, and From Dust, all three look absolutely gorgeous to me. And if you look at the art styles, not any of those are close to each other. You know, they're just completely different. But, I mean, I think they just look absolutely beautiful. And, I mean, those are the type of things that I love seeing because it's, you know, a very indie effort, but it's high production quality.
Right.
Where it's, you know, these guys have put their entire, you know, heart into this game. And it definitely shows a lot, like games like Braid and Limbo and other titles like that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's great to see, you know, those kind of unique gameplay elements get put together in a nice package like that. And I think that's something that could happen with Storm. I mean, it's something I definitely want to play and see a little bit more of. But from what I've seen, it does look like it could be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And moving away from the indie scene, more or less, Gotham City Impostors, we finally found out a little bit more about the game. The concept art is very cartoony, but it's like it looks like it could be funny, much in the way like Team Fortress or Monday Night Combat. I mean, it looks to me a lot like that's what they're going for, just because when I look at the screenshots, I see what looks to be four distinct classes.
Yeah.
I mean, that may just be me looking at it, but I'm pretty sure I see a giant guy, a small girl, you know, your average Joe, which is Batman and Joker, and then what looks like two demolitions experts, one in a kilt, and the other, I don't even know what he's got on his head, but it looks pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly... Yeah,
same thing I was thinking.
It's clearly a Gotham City Fortress going on here, so...
Yeah, and to me, honestly, I'm loving that, because, I mean, that's something I think we need more of. Monday Night Combat, it's a great game, but I mean, you know, it's starting to show its age a little bit just because I've been playing it so long. You know, it's a year old. And if a game similar to that, you know, can innovate on it differently or, you know, give me a new incentive to want to keep playing can come about, I think that'd be great. And I mean, Team Fortress is honestly one of the most fun, you know, shooting games out there. Just, it's very, very team-based. It's in the name. I mean, most games are, or at least claim to be, but I mean, that one, you actually do have to work together. It's not something, you know, you can just run around and just shoot people and hope to suddenly win.
I think this one's, if they go the Team Fortress route, it's going to end up being, you know, the more hardcore gamers. Because, for example, I bought Monday Night Combat the day it came out, and I was like, cool, I'll be able to play locally with my friends. Haha, only in one mode. And then on top of that, now if I try to jump in, I just get completely smoked because I don't. If you don't play it all the time, you know, you're just going to be destroyed. And that's not even necessarily because of any leveling up or any weird things like that, but just these people know all the little subtle nuances of the game and they're shooter fans anyway. So I don't know. I really hope that for once a shooter game will have, you know, bots of some sort, because I could totally see this being fun four-player split screen after the online just completely ramps up to the point where, I've said this about Battlefield 1943, where I don't even know which way's up and I've died five times.
All right. No, I can definitely second that just because I've been playing Brink a lot lately. And, honestly, because of the online problems they were having with that game, I ended up just playing, you know, four players against bots. And it's something that's just really enjoyable to have, you know, that kind of team-based game. even if it's just killing the computer, because, you know, it's just a good thing to do when you're just hanging out with people and just chatting.
Right.
You know, it's something you can almost do as a secondary function more than just, you know, having to be so ingrained in it and, you know, just sitting in a corner waiting for people to go by so you can make sure your team wins. I mean, it's something that's definitely enjoyable, but I think part of the problem that you're hinting at is more or less the fact that there's not a strong enough matchmaking system for a lot of these Xbox Live Arcade games. And I think, honestly, part of that is because the communities aren't large enough to warrant the segregation. It's a lot harder to, you know, split, you know, the top-end players from the bottom-end when there may not be enough people in between, you know, to make that distinction.
Yeah, and I feel like, although I don't know how you combat this problem, but the whole partying up thing is a huge problem in some games. Now, in Battlefield, it's a less of a problem because you can only party up 4 out of your 12 players, and maybe some of the other people on your team are also partied up. But in games like Monday Night Combat, you can party up the whole team, and you can get a whole team of pros, and then just 8 randoms get thrown in against them, and they have no chance. And I don't know how you fix that problem, but that's I feel like that's almost every time I see that, that's the games where it's just completely one-sided, and those are the people that are probably turning it off, saying, screw this, never playing it again.
No, I totally agree with you on that, because that's one thing that Halo figured out really, really quickly, and they've done excellent, is the fact that even if you put 5 players versus 5 players, or 4 players versus 4 players of, you know, almost identical skill levels, if one of those groups is in a party, they're going to destroy the other group. Just because they played with each other, they have teamwork, they know what to do. I mean, they almost have defined roles, especially in games like Halo, where, you know, at the start of a game, you know, one guy might instantly go for the sniper rifle, the other guy instantly goes for the rocket launcher, and the other two people go do their thing. And there's no, you know, crossover problems where, you know, all 4 of them are fighting over the sniper rifle because they all think they're better than each other. I mean, it's one of those things where when you play with a team, even if that team is not as good individually, they're going to do better. So I think that's definitely something they need to work on, separating those gaps. But, I mean, it could, again, be one of those things where they would love to separate it. It's just too hard just because of, you know, the amount of players that are available.
What?
Yeah, and you can't knock teams. You can't not let people have teams. So, I mean, you can't just take that out. But I don't know how you combat that problem.
Well, by day, I'm a research developer, and I could say that this is definitely one of those that you can't just sit down and be like, okay, well, this is how we're going to balance it. I think you actually have to sit down and get a lot of metrics on how people are playing the game and what they don't like and what they do like to be able to create something that truly balances it out.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at Section 8, Prejudice, and they're just crazy stats keeping. That's the kind of stuff that you would need to have to be able to look at this data and say, well, this is how we can balance, you know, in that game, that's a little bit different because you have huge teams, but, you know, you can take that kind of metrics and push it down into the smaller 8-player online games and say, well, you know, that's great that you're in a party, but we're going to split you guys up just because, you know, everybody else is going to get smoked.
I think that's definitely something you can't do.
Split.
You know, I know that's my biggest frustration is if I go into a game like Monday Night Combat and they split up my party, I'm not going to play that game anymore.
True.
Because the reason I'm playing that game is to play with, you know, my 4 friends. It's not to play with, you know, the random 5 people that just happen to be in there by themselves. So I think it's one of those things where the only real solution is to, you know, find a way to distinctively create 2, you know, matchmaking systems, basically, where, you know, if you go in with 4 players, you get put in one room. If you go in with less than 4, you get put in the other with other people who came in with less than 4.
Yeah, that.
But I mean, again, I think it comes down to, do they have enough people that they can make that separation where people won't be waiting, you know, way too long between matches on either end of the spectrum?
Yeah, a few games do have that community, and most of them don't, is the problem.
Especially in XBLA.
Yeah, you could probably pull something like that off on Battlefield or Section 8, maybe Monday Night Combat, but definitely not any other shooter on XBLA.
Well, I think that's one of those things where you almost have to look at it, though, is it, can you not pull it off because you didn't do it from the start and people got frustrated, or can you not pull it off just because it's not ever going to be possible? where if a developer actually went in and, you know, went all in on a game, could they pull it off? And I think they could. I think that Xbox Live Arcade can eventually sustain a shooter game as well as, you know, Xbox just in general. But, I mean, it's one of those things where they have to have, you know, all the systems in place that a game like Call of Duty has. Otherwise, why would you want to play that over a Call of Duty? Unless you're just going for the uniqueness factor. So, I mean, it depends on what their end goal is.
Yeah.
But moving on, we had a pretty big announcement on our site this past week. Alan Wake Night Springs will be coming out for Xbox Live Arcade. I have to be careful what I'm talking about here, so I'm going to let you guys talk.
Okay.
I'll just say that I like these ideas because I have no interest in paying $60 for an Alan Wake game that takes me probably, I don't know, 30 hours to complete because I hate games that last more than like 6 hours. So I like these little bite-sized games where I can get in and get out and just get a taste of what Alan Wake is.
Well, I don't think Alan Wake was a 60-hour game or 30-hour game,
well,
but...
whatever. Like, the retail games just are
8 to 12.
Excessively long for people with my frame of mind. I come from the retro Atari. Yeah. Like, the whole game is all on one screen age. Yeah. And I'm mentally checked out of almost every game after about 5 hours, and I hate it when games last like 15 hours. Like Deathspank, that's a great game, but I can't stand it because it's so damn long.
Yeah, I definitely understand. That's one of those things where if a game can't, you know, continue to introduce new elements or completely engross you in a story, that, you know, sometimes more isn't better. But for me, I think Alan Wake was extremely successful. I mean, I loved the game.
I thought the with the DLC and the retail title that everything kind of wrapped up nicely story-wise. Mm-hmm. So I know we don't know too much about this XBLA title. Night Springs is based off the fictional Twilight Zone TV series that was inside mm-hmm. the game. So I'm hoping this just adds like another element to the story that's not directly related, kind of like a side story. But any more Alan Wake for me is awesome. I can't wait for it.
Well, no. Unless it's an Alan Wake Ignition, we'll just put it that way.
I don't think so. Remedy's a great developer. I don't think it would get.
No, I personally don't think it's going to be an Alan Wake Ignition or, you know, a what was the Red Faction one, Battlegrounds? Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that. But I mean, it's been interesting for me just after we posted this, looking at some of the sites, linking back, and looking at some of the comments because I mean. You're getting the full range of the spectrum on what type of game is this going to be. And you have people out there who are complaining. They're like, well, it's going to Xbox Live Arcade, so clearly it's going to suck because it's not retail. You've got the people who are like, well, is it going to be Kinect support? I want Kinect support. You know, you've got the people who are like,
what?
Why are they doing, you know, Night Springs? Why not Alan Wake 2? And then, I mean, I think the most interesting one I've seen is someone posted asking, will it be like Shadow Complex? Because that would be awesome. And I'm just like, that would be awesome, but, I mean, it's Alan Wake.
About the only similarities is they use a flashlight, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what the guy posted with this thing. He's like, they could have flashlights. So I'm like, I guess they could. But, I mean, it's one of those things where we can't really talk much about what's going to happen yet. I mean, Remedy hasn't released anything. Microsoft hasn't released anything. As far as I'm aware, there has been no official, you know, confirmation or anyone out there trying to say that it's not true. So,
Well, Night Springs was like such a crazy, crazy world of the TV series and the game. So I don't know what they're going to do with this. It could be any genre, but they have plenty of options here. Plenty of different things they can do with it.
That's what I love about this is just because there are so many ways that this could go. I mean, they've mentioned Night Springs once or twice in the game. I think Barry even says something about how Alan wrote a few episodes. So, I mean, there's stuff like that. I mean, it's one of those things where we don't know too much about this. I mean, obviously, just being an Alan Wake game, I'm going to assume there's going to be some kind of story to it. So it's not going to just be, you know, completely storyless. But I mean, beyond that, there's not much I can say.
But when's the last time Remedy, you know, turned us down? Every title they've released so far has been good, starting with Max Payne. So I have high hopes.
Yeah, for sure. And I know Remedy, you know, they're on record a while back saying that, you know, the next Alan Wake game, it's not going to be a sequel, but it's not going to be DLC. So, I mean, honestly, that sounds like Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I've seen some stuff. So, I mean, it's always cool when stuff like that happens. I mean, it's very cool when tips like this just kind of drop into our lap. And moving on, though, this past week we saw another couple releases. We had, you know, the new Fantastic Four pinball table, and then Steve's been playing Sega Rally Online, right?
Yeah.
I always forget the name. I keep mixing it up. I'm like, is it Sega Online Rally or Sega Rally Online? I'm like, it doesn't...
Yeah, I get it wrong a lot.
I'm like, when you use such a generic name, for me, it's hard to remember it.
Yeah, especially with... Yeah. I don't know if you guys follow Sega Rally at all. I mean, it's been around for like 12 or 18 years or something like that, and it's always Sega Rally with some sort of just random qualifier. It's not Sega Rally 2, Sega Rally 3. It's Sega Rally Revo, Sega Rally this, Sega Rally that. So, yeah, I totally understand. but I got to say, first off, and we talked about this a little bit before we started the show, for those who are wanting to get a good opinion from it, from the demo, you're in for a bad time. And Andrew can back me up on this. Before I got my review code, I was like, all right, you know, rally game, it's bite-sized. I love bite-sized games because, you know, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I have a full-time job. I don't have a whole lot of time to sit down and devote 4 or 5 hours to a game. And so I'm like, this is great. I'll try out the demo, see how the physics are, because I know they're going to be arcadey because it's an arcade game. And so I got in there, I'm like, okay, what can I do? Okay, I can do single player. What in single player? Quick race. Okay. What can I choose? I can choose one car. Okay. What track can I choose? One track. And then, to top it all off, I finish one lap and the demo is over. And not like over as in, hey, let's take you back to the main menu, but over as in, we're going to show this splash screen that tells you to buy it for like 3 minutes. And then we'll take you back. So I just want to say, if you are a rally fan out there listening, or if you're just a racing fan in general, it's worth the 800 points. If not, put it on your radar for when it goes on sale, because the demo just absolutely does not do this game justice. And I think that's a whole nother conversation that we can have as far as trial versions and, you know, just not being able to really give you what the game is. I don't know, Andrew, you...
Well, I mean...
Yeah, especially when there's 5 tracks. I mean, what? I guess what could we have expected out of them? Maybe more than a lap.
Well, for me personally, I think that, you know, when it comes to racing games, Hydro Thunder did it best as far as trials go. I think they gave you an hour of online play on top of the fact that, you know, you could play the first track with probably 3 boats, I think.
Yeah, and you could play it over and over, and the unlock system
You could play it as much as you want. So, I mean, if all you wanted to do was play that first track and you could be happy with that, you could do that. But, I mean, if you enjoy the game that much, they're going to continue to play the first track over and over. You're going
to
buy
the game. Yeah, it's time to buy it. But you don't even get a feel for the physics in the demo. You know what I mean? Like, you get one lap, so you don't really get to feel like what the car feels like. Like, I know Damon and I were talking.
You get, like, 5 turns and, like, 1 jump or something.
Yeah.
Right?
They're floaty cars. I mean, it's an arcade game. It's literally a port of Sega, the most recent Sega Rally arcade game. So for people getting in the first time, they're going to be like, man, I'm driving a car that's driving on butter. What's going on here? And it's not until you actually get further into the game that you realize that that's intentional. It's not a, you know, it's not a crappy port kind of thing.
Does anyone expect better from Sega, though? I mean, after Sonic 4, I'm kind of hesitant on any of their titles, so this doesn't surprise me. In regards to the demo,
sure. Anyway.
Well, I'm looking forward to Guardian Heroes, and I think that's Sega. So, I mean, they have a few Xbox Live Arcade games coming out soon. And, I mean, I know I'm meeting up with them at E3, and I'm looking forward to some of the games on that list. So, they should have some decent stuff.
I have to say that I am disappointed in kind of Sega, how they handle maybe post-launch or I own several Sega games. I own Crazy Taxi, Sonic Adventure, I own Outrun Online Arcade, and now... Sega Rally, and all of them are literally vanilla ports. I mean, you get Xbox Live, and that's it. I mean, with the exception of Sonic Adventure, which adds DLC, which you really don't need, because by the time you finish the game, you definitely don't want to go back and play all the DLC, all these challenge levels. but, you know, there were, and this is my problem most of the time, is like with Crazy Taxi, all of the terrible physics are still there. And, you know, and I'm not talking about the physics like when you're driving, but when you like get stuck in a wall and a building starts to eat your car and suck it in, that's not fun to me. You know, those are things that should have been addressed. I'm not saying, you know, revamp the physics entirely, but do a little bit of finessing with it. Luckily, the one thing that really hurt Outrun Online Arcade, which was the online part, is really, really, really solid in Sega Rally. I played probably 20 matches, and it's just a very strong experience. There was no lag. There was nothing weird about it. The collisions were all strong. So I was impressed in that respect. But I do have to say some things as far as... because, like I said, there aren't many arcade-based rally games. So I know people out there who, you know, they're like... The old Column to Cray series, which is now the Dirt series, are going to be like, well, parts don't fall off the car, or, you know, I don't get to drive into the finish line with three wheels. Well, no, because it's an arcade game. If you think of it literally as in the arcade, would you want to pump a bunch of quarters into a game where you may not even finish because you don't have enough wheels and doors and everything else? You know, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. And once you get past that, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you're talking 11 cars, 5 tracks. They do a really good job of bringing in different ways to unlock stuff. And it's $10. I mean, I don't think any rally title is worth $60 because, like Andrew was talking about with story-based games, I don't want to put 50 hours into it to get everything unlocked. I don't have an interest in that.
Yeah, I think that's why Sega's going to succeed with this, because this title came out around the same time Dirt 3 did. I'm not sure if that's out yet, but people that are thinking about purchasing that title will see the $10 Sega Rally and think, all right, well, it's kind of the same experience. I'm just going to pick up that on XBLA
instead. Yeah, Dirt 3 releases tomorrow, and it's one of those games where I've liked the past Dirt games. I've never paid for one, but, I mean, I've had the last two, and, I mean, they're good games, but I would never want to buy them just because I can't put in that much time into a racing game, specifically, you know, a rally racing game like that. It's just, it doesn't appeal to me. So, I mean, I'm not their target audience, but with a game like this, I'm much more likely to give it a chance, just because for $10, it's a lot easier for me to get, you know, that level of enjoyment I need to make the purchase worth it.
And I have to say this, I'm a car and racing fanatic. So I have to, for those who are listening who are car fanatics, there's a couple of qualms I really have with this. The number one is that there's a car called the Lancia Stratos, which I actually have a link to in my review. This is like the quintessential rally car. I mean, it was everybody who knows rally racing knows the Stratos, and it's been in every Sega Rally game up to this point. And it's been in Gran Turismo and Forza Motorsport and all these other games. I mean, it is the rally car, and for some reason, they didn't include it, and that's a real disappointment. The other thing is there are two classic cars that They've done a classic track and two classic cars from the original Sega Rally that they've completely remodeled and reimagined. And this is my biggest pet peeve in any type of game, is when you have content that is unlocked but only in specific situations. So you can unlock these cars, but you can only play them in time trial or in this classic mode. You can't play them online. You can't play them in single player. And that just really irritates me. Hydro Thunder, as much as I absolutely love that game, I mean, it is the twin stick shooter for me. I mean, this is my favorite game in the whole wide world. There are multiplayer only skins that when you play the team mode, which is Rubber Ducky, and you can't play those in anything else. Why? I mean, the content is there. Why not give it to the player? So that's my only real qualm about the game, and I'll shut up now unless you guys have things to say.
My only thoughts on it was it may have potential, but I just don't see the demo selling this game that much. I think a lot of people are going to buy it because a lot of people are looking forward to the name alone. I know a few friends that were really excited about it just because it was a Sega Rally game, and they have a decent history with those games, so they just bought it without the demo. But for anybody who is like me demoing it, like on the fence in general, I just don't see that demo selling it that well.
I think even at 400 points, that demo still can't sell it because there's just not enough.
Yeah, that's Yeah, you're right. Even at a discount price, it's literally the shortest demo I've ever played. And I've played like probably 600 downloadable titles if you put indie and XBLA together. And I think every game I've ever demoed has been over at least a minute. And that game literally took me about a minute
to finish. It's a huge shame. And my opinion is, you know, any trial version demo should give you 5 to 10% of the game. Gives you enough to get your feet wet. You know how it's going to play, but you don't get to see a whole lot else. I mean, it's online is in the title. So like John was saying with Hydro Thunder, they should have allowed for, you know, 1 hour of online play. That would have been enough to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, the way it needs to work with demos is it shouldn't just always be the first part of the game. Yeah. It shouldn't always be the first level. It needs to be something that makes me want to play more.
Right.
So I think Outland did a really good job with that just because of the way the introduction is you get, you know, some of the powers and then you lose them and then you have to re-get them. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you get to see, you know, the depth that the game has in the first, you know, 5 minutes of the game, basically. So, I mean, that's something that most games need to learn how to do. And, I mean, if you can't show me some of the depth to the game and all I see is, you know, like a 5 minute tutorial that really doesn't have much, I'm like, eh. There's other games that, you know, deserve my money more.
Yep.
I mean, even if it is a great game, unless I know from somebody, you know, who can just come up and tell me, hey, this is great, I'm not going to give it a shot.
Maybe Sega was just focusing on the diehard Sega Rally fans, knowing they're just going to purchase it regardless of how the demo is. I don't know if they were trying to reach out to a broader audience, but I know people that will purchase Sega Rally no matter what, even if the game is bad. So I'm, you know, just like the Sonic fans. So I'm wondering if maybe that's
what I was thinking, and that's what made me think the game was going to be absolute garbage. Is just because, you know, it's got that name, and you only let me play for a minute. It's clearly not any good. Like, I mean, that's just what I was initially thinking until I read Steve's review. Because, I mean, whoever came up with this idea for the demo honestly should no longer be at Sega.
Yeah.
Like, it's just god awful. It seems like it was tacked on last minute. Or whoever was doing it, you know, either just thought, hey, we don't have to have it. Oh, we do have to have a demo?
I mean,
it's like,
how hard is it to like, sit down and just say, okay, two cars, one track, three laps against eight bots or something like that, and a half hour of online multiplayer?
That right there would have been perfect.
How hard is that?
That would have been a gold mine for him at that point. Because
all right.
This is Sega we're talking about, so keep that.
If anyone from Sega is listening, you should hire Andrew to work for your demo development. Like, he can give you a good idea.
Well, and it's ported by Sumo Digital, who've done several ports over the years, and although, on the other hand, they did do Dead Space Ignition. So, you know, I'm kind of on the fence either side, but I don't know, like, was this a developer or a publisher thing? We don't know, but I don't get how that could get past somebody's, you know, somebody who's, you know, ends up making the final say, how that could get past them. Because in the end, they're only just shooting themselves in the foot with the biggest gun ever. So.
Yeah.
Maybe the game was just rushed because it was just recently announced, right?
Well, I mean, 3 or 4 months ago, maybe.
Yeah, we've known about it for a while. So, I mean.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's one of those things where it's bad to see a demo, you know, not sell a game.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, you know, they had a new Pinball FX2 table this past week, Fantastic Four. I don't know if any of you guys have been playing any of those pinball games, but honestly, I'm starting to really enjoy them. I mean, the one nice thing about those is they know how to do demos correctly, and that's you can try every single table before you have to buy it. Which, I mean, that's something that... it's just smart. Yeah. People want to try stuff before they buy it. It's something that people feel entitled to when it comes to Xbox Live Arcade.
I have to say, I'm not a huge pinball guy, but I have to say that Zen Studios totally got this right. I mean, they just created a game that was essentially the platform, and then you dump the DLC in, and the DLC is what you actually pay for, so that you get the engine for free in one table, and then here, try all these other ones, and you can try them and actually sit down as though you're pumping just a handful of quarters into the game. And, you know, then you can decide whether you want to take it home with you. The other thing that's great about these guys is they know how to kind of pace it, if you will.
Yeah.
They you know, they don't let the Fantastic Four do everything on the table the whole time, but they take these little cinematic moments, and they don't make them too long, but they make them really exciting, and then they put you right back in the action.
No, I mean, the Marvel tables, honestly, have really impressed me, just because with almost all of them, they've done an excellent job of, you know, just capturing that character and putting it on there so that it doesn't feel like a cheap cash-in.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's something I was kind of afraid of with these, just because, I mean, it's pinball. What are you going to do that's going to make it feel, you know, that great? And then I was looking at these, and I'm like, wow, they put some serious thought into this. I mean, you see a lot of, you know, even just well-written jokes in a lot of these even. I mean, it's just, they've done a good job with these. And if you're into the pinball stuff, it's definitely worth checking out. I mean, I've actually enjoyed the Fantastic Four table a lot, but I mean, there's not a whole lot we can tell you about it, like, beyond just trying it for yourself. We have a review up on the site, though, and you should check that out.
We'll just say it's a solid table.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm hoping that they add more Marvel tables to the mix. I mean, to me, it just seems like it would make common sense with, you know, a Thor movie out to have a Thor table.
Yeah.
Captain America's coming out soon. It would just make sense to do a Captain America table. I mean, I think a lot of these are just stuff that they've probably got in the works, but they haven't really announced yet. And, I mean, I just really enjoy what they've been doing with it.
Yeah.
But, moving on to Summer of Arcade 2011, we really don't know much about what's going to be in here yet, and I'm hoping that they announce it at E3, but for all we know, they might decide to take their sweet time and wait even longer. So, what do you guys think is going to make it and make the cut this year? Do you have any games that, you know, is just on your radar or something that just has to be part of Summer of Arcade?
For me, the only thing that matters for me is Bastion. I'm hoping that game comes out this summer. I was a huge fan of Torchlight, and Bastion is kind of in the same genre, but with really cool narrative element to it. And I'm hoping Microsoft announces some other unannounced titles at E3, because other than Bastion, there's not too much that I'm looking forward to. But I think that's going to be the big, big title this summer.
Man. Let's see. I have my list already made up.
Yeah, Andrew's put a lot of thought into this one.
I think you're going to see Bastion at 1,200 points. I'll even give you prices. Bastion at 1,200 points. Trenched at 1,200 points. Toy Soldiers Cold War at 1,200 points. Missplosion Man will be the lone 800 pointer. And Fez, I'm hoping, is an 800 pointer, but I have a feeling it's going to be 1,200 points. That's my five.
That's your five? See, for me, when I look at it, I always have to just look at it. I'm like, they seem to always try to do, you know, kind of the same, you know, system in a sense, whereas, you know, you have that one game that kind of appeals more to a Japanese audience. You have that one multiplayer title. You normally have that one artsy title. And, I mean, there's almost always one licensed title, or at least, you know, a sequel in a sense. I mean, they've brought out Ninja Turtles. They brought out Marvel vs. Capcom. They brought out games like that for those. I mean, I think those are actually in the same year now that I think about it. But, I mean, they have – a lot of times they've busted out those. I mean, Lara Croft is another example of a licensed title. And, I mean, that to me is just kind of what they go for, is they look for a couple games that, you know, probably wouldn't have sold as well if they weren't included. Like, I don't know if Limbo would have sold as well if it hadn't been included, despite the fact the game is absolutely fantastic. But, I mean, they also have a couple games that, you know, draw your attention in really quickly just because they have those big names. And what I'm thinking is we're going to see one of our first Kinect Xbox Live Arcade titles in this year's Summer of Arcade. To me, that just makes sense because Microsoft is really pushing Kinect this year.
Gunstringer.
So that's what I'm thinking, is Gunstringer is going to be in there somewhere. I mean, that's the only one that I'm really, like, thinking for sure is going to be in there, because I think Twisted Pixel is going to have one game in there. I just feel like they will.
Yep.
They're close to Microsoft. They make great games. And, I mean, that's just all you need, in my opinion. Because, I mean, when you look at these games, you got to remember that almost always they have to have some form of exclusivity for them to make it onto this. I mean, even if that's just, you know, delaying, you know, the PSN version for 3 months. I mean, I think, what was it? Lara Croft just did something about how you just couldn't play online or something. No, that was on Xbox, actually, but you know, it's one of those things where for a game to get into this, it's going to have some form of exclusivity. I mean, for me, unlike Damon, there's a lot of games I'm looking forward to. I mean, I really
well. I think
what was that?
I think I think if Andrew's predictions are correct, then this would be the greatest summer lineup ever.
Yeah, no, I mean,
like, way better.
Andrew just named some great titles, and I mean, I got an entire list and of I'm playing other the lottery. Ones, you know. Like, Andrew didn't even mention Gunstringer. Andrew didn't mention Orcs Must Die. Andrew didn't mention Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, which to me looks beautiful.
I think Orcs Must Die is also on the PC, though, and that's why
Orcs Must Die. I mean, PC, they're also trying for PSN, but if they were to say just go PC, that isn't something I'd necessarily, you know, cut them at, just because of the sheer fact that, you know, Microsoft does like to promote games for Windows too. So, I mean, if that's something they could tie in, maybe. But, I mean, they are trying for PSN last time I talked to them too. So, I mean, that kind of puts them as an outsider on this. But, I mean, the whole list of titles that are just looking fantastic for this year, I mean, there's a ton. I mean, I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately.
Let me throw a couple.
If someone wants to talk,
let me throw some curveballs at you here. Warp and
Warp won't be at E3, so it's been delayed.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Retro City Rampage is the other one.
Yeah, City Rampage looks really good to me as well, and I mean that again is another one of those games that could go any way for me. I mean, it's already known it's going to be an Xbox exclusive, so I mean that gives it an inside track, you know, when it comes to that Summer of Arcade. But
I have to admit that I kind of forgot about a lot of these titles because they're all really great. But what's to say that Microsoft won't have more than like five titles this time? I mean, if there's just so many of them, they could just extend it or have two summer lineups.
I think because you got to give a game its own week. If you release two in 1 week, that's kind of a slight towards those two games that get released. And I think you can't extend it past 5 weeks just because, I mean, it's over promoted at that point. Like, they'll promote the hell out of it 3 weeks before it even comes out on the dashboard, and then they'll promote it like 3 weeks afterwards saying like, you've only got 3 weeks left to buy them all and get your 1200 point rebate or whatever deal they end up coming up with. And I think it'll just be a lot of overkill if you go longer than five.
I totally agree with Andrew, because I think what they're kind of trying to do now is create almost a seasonal promotion where they have one each season. Right now, Summer of Arcade is the one that, you know, people want to get into. Because, A, it's summer. People are, you know, just hanging out. There's not a ton of good releases for, you know, retail. To be honest, it's like the one season that is still completely dead. And for the most part, I mean, kids out of high school and, you know, college have plenty of free time. So, I mean, they're going to play games. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good time to buy some of these games. But just to name a couple more that we haven't brought up, Skulls of the Shogun looks really good. Battle Block Theater looks good. It won't be at E3, though, so that makes me think it's going to be a little bit longer on release for that. There's still Backbreaker Vengeance. I'd put that as a very far outside chance, but it could be interesting. Rock of Ages. I mean, there's still supposedly an Angry Birds coming out at some point.
I was going to say something about that.
Yeah.
Trine 2 looks really good.
Dust.
I have
from
one,
Dust, yeah.
I have
Dust and Elysian
one
Tale
game
as well.
That I have one game I hope doesn't make it, and they're over, in my opinion, they've over promoted that stupid Fire Wrestling
called. Yeah, yeah.
And that game is garbage. I hope that doesn't make it in there. But man, they had like three TVs dedicated to that, as opposed to two TVs for Trenched at PAX, and I was just like, you gotta be kidding me, this game sucks. This maybe deserves like one 13-inch black and white TV in the corner.
I have to say this, just switching back, you mentioned it just for a second, John, but Angry Birds, does anybody else feel like they're gonna milk the 1200 point price point on that when it finally comes out?
I would not even be surprised if it's somehow 1600 points. Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where
it's Angry Birds.
I feel like they're kind of looking for money, yeah.
Well, that's a DLC nightmare, because they update on my phone. I have three different Angry Bird games, and I was going over it with a few of my friends the other day, and the one version alone had over 400 levels, and they just, every once in a while, they'll just put in a new level pack, and it's free on the phones, but
I don't know.
You know that ain't going to happen on Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if that was supported with Kinect, I think that would be the perfect fit, and that would make me purchase it. Can you just imagine that?
I need to know what else.
No. Really? Have you played Angry Birds?
I feel like it's built
so
for a touch
precise.
Screen, but if they could do it well for Kinect, I think it would definitely make me rebuy it.
You'd have to have a pointer or something on the screen to match your hand, I would say.
Yeah. This is something I've talked about.
I would
feel
like that's all you would need, and it would work perfectly. I mean, obviously, there's technical things you'd have to consider, but if they perfectly did that, yeah. I would be really excited about it.
Yeah, I've talked about this with Stephen H., the one who's not on the show, a lot, and I don't rebuy games for other platforms. If I buy it for iPhone, I'm not buying it for something else. Like, if it just came out on Xbox Live Arcade. I don't rebuy Plants vs. Zombies. I have it on one platform.
Are you serious? That's what I was going to say. I have that, like, in 10 different locations.
That was the go-to game, is that. And, you know, if Angry Birds did make it to Xbox Live Arcade. I mean, it's already on PSN. And it's like, do I really want the same game in multiple places? Like, I can just play it on, you know, an iPad, or I can play it on my Xbox. I'm content with only one of them. But moving back to some of the other games that we have mentioned, there's also Renegade Ops, Spelunky, Fallen Frontier, a couple other, you know, good-looking games. Those are just what I had on my list from a while back. But I know Andrew will remember this, but at PAX East, they had a postcard collection of XBLA games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There were six games on that postcard collection, one of which has already been released. So that leaves you with five titles right there if they did go from there. And those would have been, there were six. That leaves you with Gunstringer, Fire Pro Wrestling, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, Trenched, and Cold War. So Toy Soldiers Cold War. All right. Which, I mean, those are right there are five good titles, though I'm not really a big fan of the wrestling thing, but I know they like to play up Avatar support in games. And to me, there's very few people who actually do that well. Ninja Bee normally does a good job with it, but I mean... Barker's Crest indie guys do a better job with it a lot of times than, you know, the actual big name people.
I'm looking at two more, which neither one I think will actually be in, but it would be nice. I can't remember the name of the first one. It's kind of a Final Fight meets Luchadors. You guys remember what I'm talking about? It's four player side scrolling kind of Ninja Turtles. But they're all Luchadors.
Furry or something. Yeah,
but anyway,
I don't remember.
That looks kind of fun, as in, like, you know, hey, I'm going to have three guys over. We're going to hook up the projector and beat it in one night kind of game. The other one I'm looking at that I think has potential is Gas Fuel for Fun, now it's Wrecked Revenge Revisited. Yeah. But, you know, these are from the guys who made the Micro Machines games back in the day. And even though we have, I can't even think of it. I reviewed it. Another Micro Machines like title on XBLA.
I think it's just Toy Cars.
Yeah.
TNT Racers is what you're thinking of. Toy Cars.
And TNT Racers is pretty good, but these guys are, you know, kind of the definitive makers of that type of game. And they've put it in a more of a real world setting versus, you know, cartoons and bubbles and balloons and, so I'll be really interested to see what that's like. I have my skepticisms, though. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
There's one title that I completely forgot about, and that's Radiant Star Gun. I have no idea how far along that title is, but that's going to be a huge, huge one for me, at least.
Well,
and I think for E3, a lot of people are talking about, and it's a little off subject, but I just want to briefly mention this, that Microsoft might not have the best retail announcements at this E3, but just mentioning these titles for XBLA, I feel like that's all they need. Mm-hmm. And I'll be totally just psyched for the entire year.
Yeah, and just to mention a couple more that I know are getting shown at E3, there's Guardian Heroes, which, I mean, people have been hyping up since it was announced. There's going to be Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine. There's going to be Skullgirls, which looks like a nice fighting game. Majesco's doing Blood Rain. I think Half Brick has a new title, supposedly.
Shoot Many Robots. I don't think we said
there's Shoot Many Robots, which we haven't mentioned. Awesome Knots, which again, I would consider that a far outsider just with how much little press it's gotten so far. But I mean, I wouldn't ever count anything completely out of there, because you never know what kind of, you know, like, these are business decisions that are going to be made, so. It's one of those things where you never completely know, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. And, I mean, there's plenty of other people out there who are probably coming up with additional, you know, titles that aren't even announced. And you could possibly even say the Alan Wake game that we broke a story about, you know, as another game that possibly could be in something like this. I mean, I have no clue how close they are to completing a game like that, but it's definitely something worth considering. And I mean, there's also other unannounced titles. I mean, I know a good few that aren't announced yet. So, I mean, you never know what type of stuff's going to pop up.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a contest going up right now on the site where we're asking you guys to figure out what you think's going to be in Summer of Arcade. And we've got some cool prizes for that. I'm staring at it right now, and it's been in a box in my living room for a while. And it's really cool, and I think it deserves to go somewhere outside of that box. So hopefully somebody wins it. We've got a nice, you know, Trials HD hoodie. We've got a huge, huge banner. And when I say big, I stood this up. It's over 6 feet tall.
Sweet.
Like, it's bigger. And it's pretty wide. I mean, it's like 6 foot by like 2.5 feet. And it looks like something that came from E3, to be honest. And on top of that, you know, Vector Unit sent us some stuff as well for Hydro Thunder. So, I mean, we've got a lot of stuff from, you know, some past Summer of Arcade winners. And we'll have a bunch of codes that I'll just be dropping throughout this as well, trying to clean out some of that inventory. And I know you guys always like getting codes, so that should be good. And let's see. Steve, you wanted to talk about Most Wanted?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, there's been getting a bigger and bigger response with Most Wanted, which is awesome. Right now, of course, we're having a little contest on Facebook, so tell us which your favorite Most Wanted is. We're going to be giving away some Xbox Live video games, but we talked about this a little bit before the show, and the reason I wanted to bring it up today was I was kind of struggling for one to find, not this past Saturday, but the one before, for a great kind of yesteryear game, which is usually what we end up with, and it struck me that as I was playing my old Xbox, that I loved playing Tony Hawk 4, and then again, we talked about this before the show, that ever since, maybe pretty much since they brought out that stupid board peripheral, the series has just completely tanked. And I don't know, I'd like to get your opinion. I don't know if you guys were Tony Hawk guys back in the day.
I'll be honest, I stopped playing Tony Hawk after Tony Hawk 2. But I mean, it was definitely a game that I loved as a kid. But I mean, it's something where as they've gotten bigger and bigger, I think the game's gotten even crazier. To the point that, to me, now it's not as much fun.
Right.
Like, I busted out the original on the N64 a while back, and I was having a blast with that. But for me, I don't have any interest in Tony Hawk Ride, or whatever it was called. I don't have any interest in a Kinect skateboarding title at this time, unless someone does it and it's amazing. But, I mean, even then, I can't skateboard in real life. I doubt I can skateboard with Kinect. Like, I mean, I'm just going to look like an idiot, and more or less, I'm going to be like, hey, how'd you get all those bruises? I fell over Kinect skateboarding.
Right.
You know how much street cred you get with that? I mean, it's a lot, but I mean...
You know, and my thing is I don't play games to stand up and play on a fictional board. I want to sit down and take a load off and not think about anything and just turn my brain off and play. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's the big disconnect between people that do and do not want Kinect, though. I find very few people that are, like, in the middle ground. They're either like, oh, Kinect's awesome, or they're like me, where it's just like, I just want a controller in my hand. I don't have any interest
in it. For me, there's only been one game to date that I think actually warranted a Kinect purchase, and that was Dance Central. And at the moment, with the exception of maybe Gunstringer, but, I mean, I'm not sold on that yet just because I haven't played it. The only Kinect game I'm really looking to is Child of Eden.
Yeah.
So, I mean, between those two titles, I'm not really sure Kinect warrants a purchase yet, for me at least.
Well, we can't forget about those Japanese titles that were
three.
Those are the only other titles I can think of. But in regards to Tony Hawk, the only thing I can think of, Neversoft made the original games, Tony Hawk, like, 1 through 4, and I'm pretty sure they're making the Call of Duty titles now. So if anything, if they do bring it back, I feel like they're going to be too busy with COD.
Well, yeah,
on that. So they'll put some other developer on it, and I'm just not convinced that it's going to be.
Yeah, good. But just port it. You know, you don't need anything other than maybe brush up the graphics. But I don't want, if you bring Tony Hawk back, I don't want it to be different. I want the exact same little things, all the little tricks I knew from when I was younger to work on a new version.
And if they to don't, me, it's one of those things where I'd like them to do a graphical update, but I'd like the physics more or less to stay the same. I'd like the tricks more or less to stay the same, which is something that I know a lot of game developers are starting to realize. Like with the new Mortal Kombat, the moves are identical to what they originally were. People want that. They don't want to have to learn, you know, a new set of, you know, crazy combos and stuff. They want a graphical update. They want some cool new elements, you know, like the whole X-ray stuff. And they want, you know, just you to hone the system and make it better. They don't want it completely overhauled every single time.
Yeah. And, you know, what would sell this game is get rid of all the stupid, hey, I'm an up-and-coming skater story. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about this.
Yeah. That was
you know, just, you know, give me the little people like in Tony Hawk 4 that I could go over and they'd give me a challenge and I would have to be the high score or whatever. And then what you do is you take an engine that's newer and then you just start dumping kind of the best of the old school levels, get a bunch of those in there, and then just release as an arcade. All it is just, you know, simple goals and online. And then if people want more, then you give them more of the old school levels. I mean, it's the perfect way to revitalize this. And, you know, even though Neversoft is somewhere else now, several people have used the engine that they've used over and over. I mean, you've got, I can't even think of who it is, but several people have done the Guitar Hero games, which is the same engine. Speaking as a video game modder, it was the same engine up until the board peripheral titles. So, I mean, there are people that are experienced with their engine that can just bring this over, give me some high res graphics and throw me in the game. I mean, it's a gold mine, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would say stick with 4 because one thing I remember is the first two titles, they had like a 2-minute time limit. So it wasn't like you would go up to somebody and get like a mission. It was just you're in this level for 2 minutes and you have to do everything really, really quick. So if they do, they have to get rid of that if they bring the first.
Well, I think it's one of those things where what they'd want to do is, you know, bring a mashup of some of the best stuff from probably say the first 4 games. And, you know, you can modify, you know, it to not have to always be, you know, that 2-minute thing in the level.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Like, it wouldn't be that hard, you know, if you really wanted to just break up the time limit. Or, I mean, it wouldn't even be that hard to put both types in there.
Yep.
Because, I mean, for some people, they prefer that Tony Hawk 1 and 2 feel. Other people like that 4 feel. And, I mean, like Steve was saying, you know, Neversoft's not really doing it anymore. I think it's Robomoto doing it now.
Yeah.
They've done, you know, Tony Hawk Ride and Shred, both of which did not do too well. But, I mean, this is just the perfect example of what we mean by when we say a most wanted game. There's a lot of games out there that I would love to see come to Xbox Live Arcade. They're not all, you know, old arcade games, but a lot of them are, you know, just older, you know, original retail games that, you know, have that nostalgia factor. And wouldn't really, you know, work as a new retail release, but would work really well if you reimagine them as, you know, an Xbox Live Arcade game. Other perfect examples that I think we've talked about, you know, was just even like the Battlefront series, you know, Star Wars Battlefront. I love those. I know Steve did as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, those are just perfect example again, because, I mean, it's one of those licensed properties that has, you know, really great just, you know, it's just got its own life almost that still keeps going even to this day on, you know, an old console, or at least it was until, you know, all the servers died. But it's a fun game. And I mean, it carries into, you know, now it still would be fun if it was redone.
Yeah. You know, and LucasArts in particular is sitting on so many classics, and that's really where their base is. I mean, Force Unleashed was kind of fun, but you know, the original Jedi Knight, Dark Forces, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, you know, even the old scum games like Sam and Max, which of course is owned by Telltale Games now, but Full Throttle. I mean, all of these, I think that if they would look at... Here's the thing. I think they were a little scared off when they did Lucidity, which is not a fun game. But then they did the Monkey Island games, and those were really great.
That's what I was about to say. They've brought a couple of, you know, their old properties back and, you know, completely redone them like Monkey Island, and it was a success.
Yeah. And, you know, it's there's still an amount of – there's only so many people that want to play the Monkey Island-style game. So I guess there's amount of, hey, we can only have so much budget because we know we're only going to make so much sales. But particularly with the Star Wars titles, I mean, who doesn't love a good Star Wars game? So, okay, well,
I know. All right,
so wow,
I've never really seen any of the movies, so I'm
oh my gosh, we are revoking your citizenship.
Blasphemy.
Take away my nerd license because I've never seen any Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings stuff either.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, those are okay.
Watch Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
That's my personal thing.
But if you
don't... I won't talk to someone if they haven't seen Star Wars, but the other two, eh.
Whatever, dude.
I'll take it and leave it. you should watch them, though. They're good.
I'm a comedy guy. I have no real interest
in I'm a dork stuff. At heart. I love, you know, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, all the comic book stuff. And I'm a huge fan of all of that.
Yeah, I will say that I think if I was introduced to episodes 4, 5, and 6 now, and 1, 2, 3, I wouldn't think they were as good. So I'll be fair about that, Andrew, because I grew up on them, and I've actually laughed at some of Mark Hamill's lines, you know, as an adult. Like, that is wonderfully awful.
I'll be honest, I think Star Wars is something that if you don't grow up with as a kid, you never really understand why everyone else thinks it's so amazing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just because, like, the newer ones were not that great, but, I mean, the older ones, they are very dated at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even with how much, you know, Lucas keeps trying to add in more CGI and re-releasing it every 5 years with new additional CGI. It's like, just stop making this stupid movie.
Well, look at the
Indiana Jones. Like, yeah, well, the new Indiana Jones, I still do not like. The whole Tarzan scene where he, like, tries to escape the ants by swinging in trees.
Yeah.
And then, not to ruin it, but anytime you throw in extraterrestrials, I'm out. Especially when it comes to Indiana
Jones.
The sad
part about that is there were good parts of that movie. You know, it was classic Harrison Ford, but you can be classic Harrison Ford and everything about the rest of the movie can suck.
Well, I thought it was great until about 45 minutes left. And then I was just like, I just want to mentally check out.
Yeah, and I did.
Yeah, more or less. But definitely with Most Wanted, we want to hear what you guys think too. We'd love to hear, you know, what type of games you'd like to see done. And we post a new title every Saturday. It's definitely something we enjoy doing. I mean, and yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Tell us what you've been playing.
Oh, I just wanted to say that I finally got around to play Costume Quest this weekend, and I was surprised how much I actually liked it.
No.
It started off a little slow. I hated the part where you had to walk around and, like, find this, do that. But then it got to, like, eventually where it was just, like, walk here and you go into one of those little battle scenes and then you just walk a couple more feet and you go into that.
See,
that's the part of the game I really enjoyed.
I really enjoyed that game until it got super repetitive. And at one point I'm just like, these battle scenes are not fun. Like, I just realized that. It just, like, clicked to me. I'm like, the concept's amazing. Like, I absolutely love the concept, you know, trick-or-treating, you know, your costume becomes, you know, this real-life battle apparatus type thing, and, you know, you can change costumes with different abilities. Like, that to me was awesome, but the whole battles, after a while, they felt so similar, because literally I just do the same moveset every time. The computer do the same moveset every time, but my moveset was going to win. And it's just like, I don't care at that point. for you to do something like, you know, turn-based RPG, it's tough for me to get into it unless it's challenging. And I never felt that game hit that challenging point.
I feel like Penny Arcade did the combat a lot better in a game.
I think if they'd gone more of the Penny Arcade route, that would have been good. But, I mean, Penny Arcade is another example of one of those games that people didn't play because it was way too expensive, despite the fact that it was pretty good.
Yeah, Costume Quest is fairly expensive, too. It's $1,200 and then a DLC for $400, and I got it on sale for like $600 or something like that when it was a deal of the week. So it's been in my back catalog since then, and I just finally got around to playing it, and I was surprised because I went into that thinking this is going to suck, but I just want to get all the achievements and get out of it because I was trying to run off like 600 XBLA gamer score this weekend to beat somebody on a leaderboard.
Nice.
And I played that in Comic Zone, which is an old Sega game, which is actually surprisingly good.
No, but that game was one of the first games that really sold me on the whole concept of, you know, like Double Fine making XBLA games just because it's just a better platform, in my opinion, for them to do these small digital titles because a lot of what they do is unique concepts with, you know, unique gameplay elements and a lot of humor. which that doesn't carry a retail game as much, just because people get to a point where they're like, okay, the uniqueness is kind of wearing off, the humor is kind of wearing off, and it's only been 2 hours. I mean, that's what happened to me with Brutal Legend, especially when they hid the RTS in that game. Like, I remember that was just the weirdest thing for me. I'm like, I'm at E3. I've played the game. I loved it. I'll go pre-order it. I get it, and it's what I expected.
I'd say my biggest complaint with Costume Quest was the story was probably good, but I didn't care because it was so much reading that after like the first world, I just stopped reading. I just started hammering the A button.
That was some of the stuff I actually enjoyed, was some of the reading, just because a lot of it was pretty humorous.
Yeah,
no, there was way too much.
Really long.
But
yeah,
it's just something you see a lot with these games. You guys been
hire a damn voice
yeah,
actor.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that's been something that's been happening a lot.
Hire me. I'll you know, fly me down there, buy me lunch, and give me a couple hundred
bucks.
Anyone
out there looking for someone to help you create demos and or voice act, I guarantee he will be better than the 50 people who were in that last YouTube video we showed in last week's podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're Trouble Witches.
Yeah. Trouble Witches Neo. Yeah. But, I mean, voice acting is one of those things where, yeah, it's kind of expensive, especially to do it right. But when you do it right, it can carry a game. And, I mean,
even when it's bad, I'd rather have a game with bad voice acting, like Trouble Witches, than have to read. I cannot stand reading in video games.
When it's bad, at least sometimes it's funny. Because, I mean, that to me was one of the things I actually almost started to find funny when I was playing the original Two Worlds. Just because I'm like, oh, my God, the voice acting is so bad. And then you throw in the bad old English the whole time, and it's like, you got just like an awful version of the King James, you know, being spoken. And it's just like, it was bad, but it kind of got funny after about 30 minutes. And it lasted for another 2 hours before I'm just like, I can't play this anymore. But I mean, a game that does, you know, voice acting and stuff perfectly is LA Noire. I mean, I know Damon's played it. I don't know if Steve or Andrew has, but for me, I just love that game just because of it's a perfectly well done story that's still a game.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of the best stories I've witnessed on the 360 so far. I mean, the only other thing I can think of is BioShock, but what sells it obviously is the motion capture. I mean, it literally feels like you're watching a movie, and the performances are so, so good. A lot of the people straight from Mad Men are involved in the game, and I don't know. I can't
stop
playing
it. I heard people saying like they would notice like these people that they're video game characters and saying like, oh, that's the guy from this show.
No, yeah,
I was just like, wow, how did they capture someone that good? But I know they did a lot of the facial mocapping or whatever, and it's supposed to look better than any other game.
No, the facial recognition stuff's amazing, and it has to be for the type of game they did, because you're supposed to look at people and, you know, be able to tell if they're lying, which, I mean, that's tough to do if, you know, your facial capture is not very well done. But I mean, it's one of those things where, like Damon was saying, you'll walk around and you'll be like, I know that person. Like, there were a couple times I noticed game journalists in there. I'm like, that's Dan Reichert.
You know what's crazy is even when you're just walking around, like, not interrogating people, just the pedestrians, they even have, like, great acting, great like, they'll say these things to you, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, some of the secretaries are pretty funny. I mean, they've done a really good job with that game. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, but Sessler did his soapbox thing that I think he does every week. And I actually watched today's, and it was really interesting, because what he hits on is he's like, L.A. Noire is pretty much one of the perfect examples of story done right. But this past month, we've had another example that is almost just as, you know, it is just as good. But it's the complete opposite, and that's Portal 2. Portal 2 is completely at the hands of the player. You know, there's very little, you know, cutscene type stuff. I don't think there is any other than maybe the one thing at the end where it's just, you know, kind of crazy. But
it's not.
Oh, I don't plan
that.
On it.
You don't want to spoil.
You
don't want to
spoil Portal.
Game.
It's just wrong. But I mean, it's one of those things where that game is completely player driven. And, you know, L.A. Noire is more or less story-driven where, I mean, you have your moments within the game where you can do your stuff and you keep playing the game, but it's the story that, you know, completely just ingrained into everything you do. And it's just really cool that, you know, you can have both of those, you know, complete opposites be so effective.
Yeah, and like L.A. Noire, to me, it looks like one of those games like we were talking about earlier, Storm, where I just want to play it because it looks so innovative and new and refreshing. But it's also, again, one of those games where I have no interest in playing it for more than 5 hours. So I want an L.A. Noire, like, Case West kind of game. Like, maybe two, three cases for, like, $10. I just want to try L.A. Noire. I don't want to, like, fall in love with it. I just want to see what they're doing.
No, I can totally understand that. It would be nice, you know, if you could buy just one of the desks, in a sense. You know, like, hey, here's, like, four arson cases for $10 or something. That'd be cool.
That'd be great.
It's one of those things where, you know, they put so much time and money into this game, they're going to have to release it the way they did. Unless, for some reason, they can maximize profits elsewhere. But, I mean, they've definitely done a phenomenal job with it. I mean, it's not an XBLA game, but it's great. And, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this summer, because, honestly, I think a lot of the Xbox Live exclusives that I'm looking for are XBLA games and not retail. And that's not to slight the retail lineup. Like, there's a lot of good games coming out. I mean, Gears of War 3 is huge. I mean, especially for Gears fans. I mean, I've never been a huge fan of it just because I'm not very good at rolling and shotgunning. And I feel like that's most of what the online is. But it's one of those games I'm definitely going to play just to finish out the story. And, I mean, there's some other games coming out. I don't have a full list in front of me because that's not my beat. Like, that's not what I cover.
Right.
But just XBLA games, I'm really looking forward to. I mean, we listed off a ton. And, I mean, even though these games might not make Summer of Arcade, it doesn't mean they're not quality titles. Which I know that's something a couple developers have, you know, said is negative about Summer of Arcade, is it kind of hides the games that surround it. And it's one of those things where, yes, you know, Microsoft more or less kind of king makes different developers, and, you know, they pick who they want to, you know, just kind of glorify. But it's one of those things where just because they're not in there, that doesn't mean they're not a quality game. And, I mean, that's why sites like us exist, because we can point out some of the other quality titles that aren't going to be promoted on the dashboard like Summer of Arcade. And we definitely want you guys to put your guesses out there for what you think is going to make Summer of Arcade. That contest should already be up on the site, considering this podcast is going to go up on Tuesday, hopefully. I say that just because we never are on time. But definitely let us know, you know, what your Summer of Arcade picks are. Let us know, you know, what games you want to see on Xbox Live Arcade that would fit in the most wanted criteria. Hit us up on Twitter, you know, if you have any questions. We're at XBLA fans. It's pretty simple to remember. Definitely follow us on there. Follow us on Facebook, because we give out codes a lot, and we give them out on both places. And believe it or not, there's less people on Facebook, so your odds are a whole lot better. And that's more or less all I got for everyone today. Any closing thoughts, guys?
Go play L.A. Noire.
Don't play Voodoo Dice. I'm playing that. It's terrible. And you can follow me on Twitter at TwixPrintmatic.
I would say don't judge Sega Rally by its demo. So if you've got a friend that's got it, go play it there, because it's a great game. It's well worth the $800. If you're not willing to do that, then keep it on your radar for a sale.
All right. I feel like we almost need a new rating scale for Andrew, just for, you know, these bad games. I want it to be, you know, how bad is it? A 1 to 5 on how long you had to play Load Runner. So would you rather play 5 hours of Load Runner than that game, or 1 hour?
Load Runner is the worst game I've ever
played. Yeah, I know.
I'm putting that out there right now. Any console, any platform, doesn't matter. Load Runner. I would rather play 5 rounds in Octagon with Brock Lesnar before I'd play Load Runner again.
Yeah, I'm glad I missed that title. It's one of the few things I love about not being a completionist like Andrew. I can play a game, and if I don't like it, I just stop playing it.
Yep.
I wish I could do that. I wish I could get that part of my brain taken.
Yeah, I don't feel any kind of devotion toward developers who make half-assed games. I mean, if it's not good, I'm not going to play it.
Yep.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
I'll blame them. But, there's definitely a lot of great games coming out, and definitely keep looking toward the site. Hopefully we'll have some more big announcements like we did with Alan Wake coming up in the future. Definitely want to continue to break Xbox Live Arcade news like that. This week has a couple games coming out. Dungeons and Dragons Daggerdale is going to be coming out on Wednesday. Check that out. It's by Atari. I played a little bit of it. It was interesting. I didn't really get enough in depth considering it's an RPG. But very cool. And thanks for listening, guys. Please let us know if you have any comments. We'll be right back.